And greetings, welcome to The Dividing Line, the last one I will be doing anyways for a while as I leave tomorrow evening for an extended trip, heading flying through Heathrow, of course, and I recall last trip, they changed where American goes into. It used to be Terminal 5, which I knew like the back of my hand. I mean, literally, there were shops at Terminal 5. I knew exactly where the chocolates I like were in which shop. Because sometimes you have to spend, you know, a few hours just wandering around, just sitting someplace. It's boring. Anyway, they changed over to Terminal 3, which I do not know as well yet, but was there last time. And so we'll see. We'll see what will happen with that and whether I will become an expert on Terminal 3. Let's hope I have the opportunities to continue to do that. There's no two ways about it. But anyway, fly from here to Heathrow, and from Heathrow to Johannesburg. And instead of stopping in Joburg, well, I have to stop in Joburg, but straight from Joburg to Cape Town. And I will be joined in Johannesburg by Rudolf Bischoff. And so if you'd like, one of my thoughts for the program today was there are a number of you who write and say, how could we pray for you? How could we pray for this this trip? Sure, I mean, there's the practical thing about helping to pay for trips like this and for upcoming trips. So we do remind folks that we need that assistance as well. But especially over the next couple of weeks, if you could obviously, you know, the big thing always that I ask people to pray for is I'm going to spend, I estimate, 35 hours at least in sealed metal or carbon tubes, depending on which kind of plane I'm in. Because, you know, 747s are metal, and what's that new Boeing one that's a 777 that's carbon? I've been in one carbon plane so far. That's a little freaky because I ride a carbon bike, and I've seen carbon bikes crash. And of course I've seen aluminum bikes crash too. So, but carbon can just sort of go, and that would be a long ways up for it to go like that. But anyway, we'll be spending a lot of time in sort of hermetically sealed tubes with all sorts of folks with all sorts of diseases. And, you know, the first time I went overseas, 2005, well, really overseas, to London, man, I just got as sick as I'm not sure why we say as sick as a dog, because not all dogs get sick, but anyway, you know what I mean? I was really, really, really ill. And I've done really well since then. I always pray about it, but I also take all sorts of steps, some of which are quite effective, to maintain my health while I'm traveling. But that's obviously the biggest thing. It's always under the hand of God. So if you would pray along those lines, I almost always get some little something. But keeping it a little something that's manageable is totally different than being flat on your back like I was the first time I went to London in 2005. And so your prayers for that would be greatly appreciated. Safety, obviously. Just so you know what to be praying for, it's a lot of work for Rudolf Bischoff when I get down there. You know, I don't think I'd be going to South Africa if it weren't for the tremendous amount of work that Rudolf does, and then, you know, having a traveling companion who knows what he's doing and local and has things under control, extremely, extremely important. So we won't be spending a lot of time together this trip, unfortunately, but we will be going from Joburg down to Cape Town. I've never been to Cape Town. I can't talk about who we're going to be ministering with when I get back. Obviously, I'll be able to, but new brothers that I'll be meeting for the first time down in Cape Town. Everyone tells me that Cape Town is just the garden spot of South Africa. And so, you know, I've seen some pictures. It looked pretty impressive. The only sightseeing I want to do is to find some place to run along the seashore, like I've done in Durban. That would be sort of cool. Looks like it'll be like the mid-70s while I'm there and mid-50s at night. So that's about best you can ask for, I would imagine. And we'll be doing so pray for the ministry there. We'll be doing an entire conference on scripture reliability, inerrancy, the canon, interpretation, you know, just bibliology as a whole. We'll be covering there in Cape Town this coming weekend. Inerrancy. Let's see, what are the I guess that there are some specific titles here. Click. Okay. Scripture and Modern Day Apostles. Oh, well, I'm not sure where that one came from, but I guess we can address that one. There's a number of things here. Scripture and the Interfaith Movement. Titles sometimes get added without my necessarily knowing these things. So, cool. yay. We'll do some thinking. I've got lots of time between now and then. Not much to do on those planes, quite honestly. So that's going to be through the weekend of the 8th there in Cape Town. Then we fly back to Johannesburg and then drive out to Potchefstroom. And didn't get a chance last time I was there to go out to Northwest University in Potchefstroom, but will be this time lecturing on the various errors of Bart Ehrman. And obviously my intention is that these will be recorded, and we'll let you know as soon as they're available when they come out. And then on Tuesday, Christology in the New Testament and the Quran, I think it's University of Johannesburg. I think it's, if I'm recalling correctly, I could be wrong, but if I'm recalling correctly, it's in the Senate chambers at the University of Johannesburg, which is where I did a debate before. It's sort of in the round type thing. And Uncle John Gilchrist, and I will be teaming up and discussing this with Muslims. Now, I don't... That must be the dialogue with Bashir Varnia. So I thought we were debating in the mosque in Lanesia. Or maybe that's what that is. I don't know. I'm just looking at the thing. I thought there was something at the mosque in Lanesia. I was pretty certain there was. But I don't see it here, which doesn't necessarily mean anything, but I don't see it here. I'm just looking at my calendar. I don't have all the emails and everything else up, so on and so forth. So anyway, then we fly back to London, and I know what one of the two programs that we're going to be recording on Unbelievable is. What one of the two is. And it required me to download a 15-year-old debate and listen to it on a lengthy ride. Saturday. On Saturday, I listened to a 15-year-old debate to be prepared for that. I won't give you any more. You know, Unbelievable comes out after we've already done these things, obviously. But I don't want to get too far ahead. But it's someone I've debated before. Has nothing to do with Islam, so a lot of you, I think, are going to be happy about this. And then we're looking at a second program, so we'll see if we can put two programs back-to-back there on Unbelievable. And then I'll be speaking there in London. Should have the details on this. We're having a little problem putting the specifics together at the moment, but should hear back from someone maybe today, hopefully, possibly. Not yet.
My understanding is she's out until tomorrow. The email I got back was May 3rd.
Okay.
That she would be back in the
so
office.
So hopefully we'll have a little bit more details about London at that particular point in time. And then on Monday, flying up to Belfast, and it's actually not... I won't be in Belfast. I'll be in a... in a about out, an hour outside up toward the North Sea.
Yeah, and I just realized that I made a mistake on the announcement there, and I have that in Dublin again. I don't know where in the world Dublin came into my brain, because that's up in Belfast. So I need to fix that.
Yeah, well, I'm just looking at my calendar. But, yeah, Dublin, you do definitely have Dublin stuck on the brain.
No.
But it's northeast of Belfast. And be speaking on the reliability of the New Testament there, just spending the night and then start the journey back from Belfast to Heathrow, back here to Phoenix, which I'll tell you one thing, it breaks that trip up. Flying from here to South Africa, I'm going to be pretty tired by the time I get to Cape Town. No two ways about it. Breaking it up, having an opportunity of being in London for a little while, though I will have to make sure to be throwing a few pounds on my Oyster card, because we're going to be having to run around London a bit, and you do that using the tube, and so I'm sort of looking forward to that. That's always fun. So, lots of things to be praying for. Yes, sir?
Now, you were saying about your time in South Africa in Johannesburg. When you're at the University of Johannesburg, I guess, is that Potchefstroom?
No.
Okay, so that's May 10th, Tuesday. Your dialogue with Uncle John Gilchrist. It's you and against Bashir Varnia and Muhammad Kuvadia.
Is that at the University of Johannesburg?
Yes.
Oh,
so that's where that is.
Last I had seen, that was supposed to be at the mosque in Lanesia, but
if
must have changed.
If that has been changed, I have not been notified of it. And maybe Rudolph needs to give me an update on that. But the last official information he gave me was you're in Potchefstroom on Monday talking about Bart Ehrman, two sessions. And then the next night you're at University of Johannesburg with John Gilchrist, Bashir Varnia, and Muhammad Kuvadia.
Okay. Well, that'll be interesting. That'll be interesting. I just got distracted by a Clementine quote that was just provided to me on Twitter. And God made trees and you and me and January and all the frozen crackers. Because I had told Clementine that I had these crackers from Frozen, the movie. In this box, and she kept asking me about. Well, she spent the night, Saturday night, and went through about three bags of frozen crackers in the process, and I sent them home with her. So evidently, they've made an impact upon life. So that's good. That's good. Anyway, so that's the upcoming trip, and I would deeply appreciate your prayers for each one of those events. Obviously, you know. We're all subject to the limitations of these bodies, and you know I've gotten sick on trips before, and man, it makes it tough to do debates or presentations or all sorts of things like that. But then there's all sorts of folks who make this possible. I mean, you know, Rudolph is going to be spending a tremendous amount of time away with me when I'm in South Africa. When we get to London and Belfast, there are people that have to take time out of their schedules and stuff like that. So your prayer is definitely appreciated for health, for blessings upon the presentations when we're specifically speaking to Christians, that they would be encouraged, that the church would be strengthened in the midst of the difficulties that they have, especially there in South Africa. But especially for those when we're engaged, you know, there will be a debate in London with Adnan Rashid. We just scheduled that, on the subject, is the Trinity, man-made or divinely, mandated. And, so that'll be a challenge as well. And so we have at least two debates currently, not including the Unbelievable broadcasts. So it could be as many as four if you include the Unbelievable broadcasts, and lots of teachings. So your prayers for this trip Very, very much appreciated, and that gives you an idea of what we're going to be doing. And I guess Brother John Sampson and you will be doing some things while I'm gone as well.
Yep, we're looking at pretty much burning the place down.
Okay.
So no problem at all.
Well, I've enjoyed this this studio and all it's meant. So hopefully the tribbles will still be here. Come on. Uh-oh.
Time for batteries.
I think the batteries finally gave in. Yep. Oh, that's sad. It's just a little teeny. It's oh, that's terrible. I need new batteries for my Tribble. problems Kirk never had. Obviously. Actually, that's got a little weight to it. If those had fallen off out of that thing, remember the trouble of tribbles. And anyway, I think the tribbles were more like these because there's nothing in this, and you could throw this at full speed at somebody's face, and they would never really find that to be objectionable. Anyway, you know, right before the program started, someone tweeted, Chris Williams tweeted, "Story time with Grandpa Jimmy." And I would have forgotten again. I intended to get back to this. I would have forgotten. So I'm thankful for. I have a few things on my mind at the moment. So I am thankful for the reminder. And if you recall, on Story Time with Grandpa Jimmy, we had started the Gospel of Thomas, and we had gotten through the first 40 verses of the Gospel of Thomas, and then I don't know what happened. Maybe went out of town, who knows, and the brain stopped working, and I forgot to finish up the Gospel of Thomas. I'm not sure I'm going to do the whole thing today, because it's fairly lengthy, but we have been reading some of the Gnostic Gospels on the program, just so that people have a familiarity with them. The weight that these have in silencing Christians and things like that is primarily inversely proportional to a person's knowledge of these documents. So in other words, the more you know about them, the more you can recognize that they really don't have anything to do with Jesus and the apostles. With the time frame of the apostolic period, and they come from a different worldview, and once you understand that, then it's like, why is everybody so up in arms about these things? But the less you know about them, then the weightier they become. And so you may recall we had read a couple of the more, you know, the Protoevangelium of James and the Infancy Gospel of Thomas. We read through these, so because you keep hearing them all the time. You hear these things being cited and all the rest of this stuff. And the Gospel of Thomas is much longer than the others. And so we only read, as I recall, the first 40 verses of the Gospel of Thomas. What are you doing out there?
I need to open your door so there's a little breeze through here. It's getting a little warm, you know? It's supposed to be 98 on Friday.
It's supposed to be 100 tomorrow, Wednesday. What are you talking about?
It's warming up out here. I'm just looking for a little airflow, that's all.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I had set it, you know, I can control my stuff here from my phone. It's set at 72. Is it?
Yeah,
I mean,
but
you're normally complaining.
Your door was closed, and your office sucks air through where I'm sitting, and so you're just clogging things up, man.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, anyway, back to Story Time with Uncle Jimmy and the Gospel of Thomas, which is 114 verses long. We read the first 40. Verse 40 says, Jesus said, "A grapevine has been planted outside of the Father, but being unsound, it will be pulled up by its roots and destroyed." Jesus said, whoever has something in his hand will receive more, and whoever has nothing will be deprived of even the little he has. By the way, you can, some of these you can sort of, what? You have a phone in your hand? Can you get more? Oh, whoever has something in his hand will receive more. Okay. The stuff I have to put up with, folks. Y'all would be shocked at the, anyway. Obviously, many of these do reflect a knowledge of the biblical gospels. Obviously, there's a huge amount of discussion about how much the authors, well, you know, this is a collection of sayings, not a one particular author, but which gospels they knew, all that kind of stuff. But then you have this Gnostic spin, you know, that appears in all of this. So, for example, verse 42, Jesus said, become passers-by. That's it. You know, it's not supposed to have a context, and it's not supposed to be one of those things where you actually can really figure out what in the world it's about. The Gnostics weren't concerned about exegesis or the communication of a particular worldview, understanding, that kind of stuff. It's meant to be somewhat, well, it's meant to be theological play-doh that you can then form into whatever you wish. That's sort of what that's all about. 43. His disciples said to him, who are you that you should say these things to us? Jesus said to them, you do not realize who I am from and what I say to you, but you have become like the Jews, for they either love the trees and hate its fruit, or love the fruit and hate the tree. Jesus said, whoever blasphemes against the Father will be forgiven, and whoever blasphemes against the Son will be forgiven, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either on earth or in heaven. Now that is pretty much straightforward, straight up, out of the canonical Gospels. That's the subject of the unpardonable sin. Now, how the proto-Gnostics understood that, good question, but that's clearly dependent upon the canonical Gospels. The Gospel of Thomas should never be seen as being concurrent with, but secondary to, the canonical Gospels, including the Gospel of John. Jesus said, grapes are not harvested from thorns, nor are figs gathered from thistles, for they do not produce fruit. A good man brings good from his storehouse, and an evil man brings forth evil things from his evil storehouse, which is in his heart, and says evil things. For out of the abundance of the heart, he brings forth evil things. Again, slightly changed, but pretty much straight from the canonical Gospels. Jesus said, among those born of women, from Adam until John the Baptist, there is no one superior to John the Baptist, and his eyes should not be lowered before him. Yet I have said, whichever one of you comes to be a child will be acquainted with the kingdom and will become superior to John. Verse 47, Jesus said, it is impossible for a man to mount two horses or to stretch two bows. I'm just thinking about the stretch two bows part. How? And it is impossible for a servant to serve two masters, otherwise he will honor the one and treat the other contemptuously. No man drinks old wine, immediately desires to drink new wine, and new wine is not put into old wineskins, lest they burst. Nor is old wine put in a new wineskin, lest it spoil it. An old patch is not sewn onto a new garment, because a tear would result. Okay, most of that, again, very much dependent on the canonical Gospels. For their source. 48, Jesus said, if two make peace with each other in this one house, they will say to the mountain, move away, and it will move away. Jesus said, blessed are the solitary and elect, for you will find the kingdom, for you are from it, and to it you will return. 50, Jesus said, if they say to you, where did you come from? Say to them, we came from light, the place where the light came into being on its own accord and established itself and became manifest through their image. If they say to you, is it you? Say, we are its children. We are the elect of the living Father. If they ask you, what is the sign of your Father in you? Say to them, it is movement and repose. Now that one just hung a hard left and left the canonical gospels and the Jesus tradition behind and became very, very Gnostic. 51, his disciples said to him, "When will the repose of the dead come about, and when will the new world come?" He said to them, "What you look forward to has already come, but you do not recognize it." His disciples said to him, 24 prophets spoke in Israel, and all of them spoke in you." He said to them, "You have omitted the one living in your presence and have spoken only of the dead." 53, his disciples said to him, "Is circumcision beneficial or not?" He said to them, "If it were beneficial, their father would beget them already circumcised from their mother. Rather, the true circumcision in spirit has become completely profitable." Jesus said, "Blessed is the poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven." Pretty much straight quote. 55, Jesus said, "Whoever does not hate his father and his mother cannot become a disciple to me, and whoever does not hate his brothers and sisters and take up his cross in my way will not be worthy of me." I wonder, honestly, exactly what "in my way" means there. That particular edition. 56, Jesus said, "Whoever has come to understand the world has found only a corpse, and whoever has found a corpse is superior to the world." It hangs lefts very frequently. That's all I can say. Jesus said, "The kingdom of the Father is like a man who had good seed. His enemy came by night and sowed weeds among the good seed. The man did not allow them to pull up the weeds. He said to them, 'I am afraid you will go intending to pull up the weeds and pull up the weed along with them. For on the day of harvest, the weeds will be plain and visible, and they will be pulled up and burned.'" Pretty much straight from the canonical gospels. Jesus said, "Blessed is the man who has suffered and found life." 59, Jesus said, "Take heed of the living one while you are alive, lest you die and seek to see him and be unable to do so." 60, they saw a Samaritan carrying a lamb on his way to Judea. He said to his disciples, "That man is round about the lamb." They said to him, "So that he may kill it and eat it." He said to them, "While it is alive, he will not eat it, but only when he has killed it and it has become a corpse." They said to him, "He cannot do so otherwise." He said to them, "You too look for a place for yourself within repose, lest you become a corpse and be eaten." I don't make them up. I just read them. 61. Jesus said, "Two will rest on a bed. The one will die and the other will live." Salome said, "Who are you, man, that you have come up on my couch and eaten from my table?" Jesus said to her, "I am he who exists from the undivided. I was given some of the things of my father." And then there's a ellipses seemingly indicating possibly textual, unrecoverable textual corruption. "I am your disciple. Therefore I say, if he is destroyed, he will be filled with light. But if he is divided, he will be filled with darkness." I don't make them up. I just read them. 62, Jesus said, "It is to those who are worthy of my mysteries that I tell my mysteries. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing." 63, Jesus said, "There was a rich man who had much money. He said, 'I shall put my money to use so that I may sow, reap, plant, and fill my storehouse with produce, with the result that I shall lack nothing.' Such were his intentions, but that same night he died. Let him who has ears hear." Now that just sounds, now that one to me sounds like a rather naturally summarized version of a canonical story. Okay. Got it. 64. It's a long one. Jesus said, "A man had received visitors, and when he had prepared the dinner, he sent his servants to invite the guests. He went to the first one and said to him, 'My master invites you.' He said, 'I have claims against some merchants. They are coming to me this evening. I must go and give them my orders. I ask to be excused from the dinner.' He went to another and said to him, 'My master has invited you.' He said to him, 'I have just bought a house and required for the day. I shall not have any spare time.' He went to another and said to him, 'My master invites you.' He said to him, 'My friend is going to get married and I am preparing the banquet. I shall not be able to come. I ask to be excused from the dinner.' He went to another and said to him, 'My master invites you.' He said to him, 'I have just bought a farm and I am on my way to collect the rent. I shall not be able to come. I ask to be excused.' The servant returned and said to his master, 'Those whom you invited to the dinner have asked to be excused.' The master said to his servant, 'Go outside to the streets and bring back those whom you happen to meet so they may dine. Businessmen and merchants will not enter the places of my father. So, again, pretty close with some interesting variations. Almost sounds like an oral version of the gospel stories at that point. Maybe a lot of these are just people who had heard preaching or things like that, which is interesting. He said there was a good man who owned a vineyard. This is number 65. He said there was a good man who owned a vineyard. He leased it to tenant farmers so that they might work it and he might collect the produce from them. He sent his servant so the tenants might give the produce of the vineyard. They seized his servant and beat him, all but killing him. The servant went back and told his master. The master said perhaps he did not recognize them. He sent another servant. The tenants beat this one as well. Then the owner sent his son and said, perhaps they will show respect to my son, because the tenants knew that it was he who was the heir to the vineyard. They seized him and killed him. Let him who has ears hear. So, again, very common gospel stories, but without any context. Obviously some have wondered if there is a relationship between the mythical Q and documents like this, because they don't show a lot of contextual concern. I keep wanting to say Ayah 66. I've been obviously preparing for debates on Islam. Jesus said, show the stone which the builders have rejected. That one is the cornerstone. Jesus said, if one who knows the all still feels a personal deficiency, he is completely deficient. So you'll have one, verse directly from the gospel tradition. And the next one is just way out there someplace. And that's just the nature. There's no flow. There's no context. It's just throw it all together. 68, Jesus said, blessed are you when you are hated and persecuted. Wherever you have been persecuted, they will find no peace. Who's they? Not worried about context. 69, Jesus said, blessed are they who have been persecuted within themselves. It is they who have truly come to know the Father. Blessed are the hungry, for the belly of him who desires will be filled. 70, Jesus said, that which you have will save you if you bring it forth from yourselves. That which you do not have within you will kill you if you do not have it within you. If you just look like you know what you're talking about, you can get right past these things. Verse 70. Yep.
Yes, I'm starting to think that you need to get one of those facial expressions where you squint and nod.
Well, that's what most professors do.
Yeah, you need to squint
when they
and
teach
nod.
Stuff, is
like,
the great wisdom. can't do it. I'm sorry. I was reading some tweets from David Eaton. Yes, well, I guess he ran into Paul Williams. Another interesting story, but we digress. Oh my, this, I'm getting distracted here between Twitter, and evidently David's in London, and then good old George Saig. Just got a text message. Can you debate Shabir Ali on the Trinity the second Saturday of August? A lot of that would depend on where, and I sort of doubt it in light of the fact that, he said Saturday, didn't he? Yeah. Which would be the 13th. I forget when I'm preaching the 31st and probably the 7th. Possibility. I'm just not sure where.
I'm thinking you should text him back and say, will it be on bicycles? You can debate him on bicycles.
You know, sometimes I think I need to have a control to your microphone in here. Then it would be fair and better.
What can I say? I'm already getting caught up in the Gospel of Thomas here.
Yes. I'm sorry that I keep I'm being distracted by my... See, it's the digital age. You know, I looked over, I saw my phone, I saw the message. You know what? You know what we ought to do? This is a thought. What I had to do is write to Shabir and say, I'll tell you what, love to do the debate, but we have to be done with the book beforehand.
There's a thought. Motivation for both of you.
Or whoever is behind the most in the book gets less time in the debate than the other guy. How's that? I think that might work. I'm thinking this one. David tells me that Paul Williams says I'm an Islamophobic bigot. Well, tell Paul Williams that when he's willing to stand up and defend the things he says against people he knows can actually, respond from a position of having taught Greek and Hebrew and things like that, then let us know. Till then, what can I say? But I appreciate your trying to converse with the gentleman. Maybe there's others that can reach the man. I obviously am not the one to do that. But remind me to respond to Brother George and see what he has in mind. Brother Lane right now is trying to arrange a Calvinism debate at the end of May over in SoCal. And that's coming. That'd be really short notice. But we've actually been talking with this guy for quite some time. So there may be a few extra debates popping into the schedule here on short notice. And I would assume if something works out with George, that would be SoCal as well, which, you know, it's easy to get to, you know. There's lots and lots of flights into Southern California, and I'm sure Lane will pick me up and take me wherever I need to go. So that's, you know, sort of works out. Anyway, this Kofi just posted a picture. Not sure if Gnostic Gospel or Guy on Shrooms. Because I'm reading the Gospel of Thomas, which, yeah. Some of it, clearly, you can see direct connection to the canonical Gospels. And the very next one, it's like... just no... There's no flow. There's no editing. But there's not supposed to be, because the idea in the Gnostic mind is not the communication, ironically, of truth. In a meaning, in a propositional sense, was there something you were going to? No, you just you're
probably best.
Oh, that's not good. Okay, when you say that, it probably is best that we just move on. Where was I? Not making great progress here in story time with Uncle Jimmy. Did you see those pictures on Facebook from yesterday with Clementine?
Adorable, absolutely adorable.
I'll tell you that. That dress is about four sizes too big, but it still looked awful cute. You can get away with it when you're 3.5 years old. It doesn't matter. You're just I won't mention what David Eaton just said about. But you're right. That is the appropriate terminology there. Anyway, back to the Gospel of Thomas. By the way. The cough. I'm cool. I'm fine. When you got to understand the mind of the addict, and I'm addicted to cycling, and so I'm going to be off bike for 2 weeks, and that's like going cold turkey, you know. And so I have ridden every single day now for over a week. I did 72 miles this morning. Tomorrow I'm going to do 50, 52, somewhere around there. It's all just meant to minimize the damage of 2 weeks off. Now, how many kilometers I did last week? 500. 500 kilometers. That's 310 miles in 1 week. So I'm pretty much, I won't be behind when I get back, basically. By the way, I can't tell you. Drat. I've been trying to buy the new version of a book of the guy I'm debating on Unbelievable. I've been trying to buy it through Kindle. You know how we do it? 3 times I've tried. I never get a notification. Don't know what's going on. I wanted to try to record it overnight last night, and I never got it. But one of the guys, the one debate we know we're going to be doing, there's going to be a bunch of you. They're going to be like, oh, good, you're going back to that subject, at least revisiting that subject that you've done. I have debated this subject before. We debated, like I said, 15 years ago. That sort of narrows it down. You can sort of figure out who it is just from that, really, because I'm not sure how many debates I did that year. Good, David, we'll see you, definitely. I'll see you in London. Just make sure to introduce yourself. Okay, back to the Gospel of Thomas. You know, it's a lot of translations. There were five translations of this that I could have chosen when I pulled it up here earlier. Where am I? I am we didn't do the vineyard, did we? How did I get past this? This is weird.
Well, that was some squirrel, man.
It was a big squirrel. Reddish gray squirrel.
Completely off.
Well, now wait a minute.
No, the vineyard. We did cover the vineyard. In fact, I think that was the last thing you did cover there. You did.
Evidently, my short-term memory has disappeared. I thought I was in the 60s. And I must have hit something and scrolled. This is really, 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 really weird. Because I remember this one. Oh, that was getting close to 70. Okay. Let's just start here with 66. Jesus said, "Show me the stone which the builders have rejected. That one is the cornerstone." Does that sound familiar? No. I'm literally going to have to go back and figure out where in the world we went. And I'll listen to it and pick it up from there. Because this is really, really weird. It's like, looks, it's almost like I hit a button and went to a different translation or something. I know we did John the Baptist. Yeah. I'll tell you what, I'll go back and listen and figure out where we were. And I don't know, just maybe it's just Gnosticism eventually just rots the brain. But this is, I thought I started with 40. I know I read, Jesus said, become passers-by. And I know I read through 61. I thought I was right down near 70. I'll tell you what, let me just pick up a 70. If I missed one, you know what? The world's, there's no context here. You know, it's Gnostic. No one worries about context. I'll pick up a 70. Jesus said, that which will, which you have will save you if you bring it forth from yourselves. That which you do not have within you will kill you if you do not have it within you. So that's why I don't remember where I am, because if it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, it doesn't stick. It's just... Teflon, you know, Teflon. Gia said, I shall destroy this house and no one will be able to build it. Dot, 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 which I'm not sure if that means that there is manuscript corruption or what. A man said to him, tell my brothers to divide my father's possessions with me. He said to him, O man who has made me a divider. He turned to his disciples and said to them, I am not a divider, am I? I'm sorry. I try not to be flippant, but that one seems particularly strange. Jesus said, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Beseech the Lord, therefore, to send out laborers to the harvest. Well, we know where that one came from. He said, O Lord, there are many around the drinking trough, but there is nothing in the cistern. 75. Jesus said, many are staying at the door, but it is the solitary who will enter the bridal chamber. I love watching Rich sitting out there going, Jesus said, the kingdom of the Father is like a merchant who had a consignment of merchandise and who discovered a pearl. The merchant was shrewd. He sold the merchandise and bought the pearl alone for himself. You too, seek his unfailing and enduring treasure where no moth comes near to devour and no worm destroys. Well, now that's interesting. Isn't that interesting? There you get a really interesting idea of how a story gets mutated and joined with other stories in an oral transmission process, 120 years down the road. That one's interesting. Really, really interesting. Let's see here. Jesus said, it is I who am the light, which is above them all. It is I who am the all. For me, from me, did the all come forth, and unto me did the all extend. Now listen to this. This is one of the more important ones. Split a piece of wood, and I am there. Lift up the stone, and you will find me there. Now, in the past, when I've read some of the more important sections of the Gospel of Thomas, that's one that I've focused on because you really get a sense of the Gnostic concept there and one of the fundamental areas where there's a real disjunction, a real break between the worldview of the Gnostic Gospels and the Gospel of Thomas specifically and the worldview of the Bible. Because that's pantheism. You know, split a piece of wood, I am there. Lift up the stone, you'll find me there. No, that's not what Jesus said. When Jesus was incarnate, lift up the stone, and Jesus is not there, okay, unless he happens to be hiding under the stone. 79, a woman from the crowd said to him, blessed are the womb which bore you and the breast which nourished you. He said to her, blessed are those who have heard the word of the Father and have truly kept it, for there will be days when you will say, blessed are the womb which has not conceived and the breasts which have not given milk. Sounds like it came from what? Huh?
Did I hear that correctly? It's attributed to the woman saying both sayings?
No, he said to her.
Oh, okay. All right.
Second part was he said to her. Yeah. Few changes there, but definitely from the gospel tradition. 80. Jesus said, he who has recognized the world has found the body. But he who has found the body is superior to the world. Jesus said, let him who has grown rich be king, and let him who possesses power renounce it. Rich be king. Jesus said, he who is near me is near the fire, and he who is far from me is far from the kingdom. I know, the first part there sounds like a Garth Brooks song, but I don't think Garth had anything to do with that. 83. Jesus said, the images are manifest to man, but the light in them remains concealed in the image of the light of the Father. He will become manifest, but his image will remain concealed by his light. I don't write him, folks. 84. Jesus said, when you see your likeness, you rejoice. But when you see your images which came into being before you, and which neither die not, which neither die, it's got to be a typo, and which neither die nor become manifest, how much you will have to bear. 85, Jesus said, Adam came into being from a great power and a great wealth, but he did not become worthy of you. For had he been worthy, he would not have experienced death. Jesus said, the foxes have their holes and the birds have their nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head and rest. That's almost a direct quote. Excuse me. Jesus said, wretched is the body that is dependent upon a body, and wretched is the soul that is dependent on these two. Two? Wretched is the body that is dependent upon a body. So there's two bodies? And wretched is the soul. Well, I get that the wretched is the soul dependent upon these two. In Gnosticism, the soul should not be dependent upon a body. Oh, well. 88, Jesus said, the angels and the prophets will come to you and give you those things you already have. And you too give them those things which you have and say to yourselves, when will they come and take what is theirs? 89, Jesus said, why do you wash the outside of the cup? Do you not realize that he who made the inside is the same who made the outside? 90, Jesus said, come unto me, for my yoke is easy and my lordship is mild, and you will find repose for yourselves. Pretty close to Matthew 11. They said to him, tell us who you are so that we may believe in you. He said to them, you read the face of the sky and of the earth, but you have not recognized the one who is before you, and you do not know how to read this moment. Sounds like Matthew there. Jesus said, seek and you will find, yet what you asked me about in former times, and which I did not tell you then, now I desire to tell, but you do not inquire after it. Jesus said, do not give what is holy to dogs, lest they throw them on the dung heap. Do not throw the pearls to swine, lest they ... Evidently, textual corruption. Jesus said, he who seeks will find, he who knocks will be let in. 95, Jesus said, if you have money, do not lend it interest, but give it to one from whom you will not get it back. 96, Jesus said, the kingdom of the Father is like a certain woman. She took a little leaven, concealed it in some dough, and made it into large loaves. Let him who has ears hear. We're close enough to finish this up. We really are. Jesus said, the kingdom of the Father is like a certain woman who was carrying a jar full of meal. While she was walking on the road, still some distance from home, the handle of the jar broke and the meal emptied out behind her on the road. She did not realize it. She had noticed no accident. When she reached her house, she set down the jar and found it empty. Just go. See, if you're a Gnostic, you go. It reminds me of certain people on Fox News. Jesus said, the kingdom of the Father is like a certain man who wanted to kill a powerful man. In his own house, he drew his sword and struck it into the wall in order to find out whether his hand could carry through. Then he slew the powerful man.
So is that kind of like an ancient version of shooting a shot in the air, like a warning shot?
No.
Okay.
No. I can guarantee you one thing right now. No one born in Prescott would ever make a good Gnostic.
I'm still waiting for this.
Sedona, filled with Gnostics. You go, yeah. Prescott, no.
I'm still waiting for the quote where Jesus said he's all dressed up with nowhere to go.
That's a different Gnostic gospel. Okay. I'm not sure where to get to that one. 99, the disciples said to him, your brothers and your mother are standing outside. He said to them, those here who do the will of my Father are my brothers and my mother. It is they who will enter the kingdom of my Father. Sounds pretty close. We only have 14 more to go. 15, actually. So we're going to make it. We're going to press through here. They showed Jesus a gold coin and said to him, Caesar's men demand taxes from us. He said to them, give Caesar what belongs to Caesar, give God what belongs to God, and give me what is mine. Little strange addition there. Jesus said, whoever does not hate his father and his mother as I do cannot become a disciple to me. And whoever does not love his father and his mother as I do cannot become a disciple to me. For my mother, ... but my true mother gave me life. I'll bet you there are entire books written on that one. I'll bet there are. Probably a waste of paper, but there are. Jesus said, woe to the Pharisees, for they are like a dog sleeping in the manger of oxen, for neither does he eat, nor does he let the oxen eat. Jesus said, fortunate is the man who knows where the brigands will enter, so that he may get up, muster his domain, and arm himself before they invade. Sounds like the strong man. They said to Jesus, come, let us pray and let us fast. Jesus said, what is the sin that I have committed, or wherein have I been defeated? But when the bridegroom leaves the bridal chamber, then let them fast and pray. Jesus said, he who knows the father and the mother will be called the son of a harlot. It gets weirder as we go along, seemingly. Jesus said, when you make the two one, you will become the sons of man. And when you say, mountain, move away, it will move away. We're almost done. That was 106. There's only 114. Jesus said, the kingdom is like a shepherd who had 100 sheep. One of them, the largest, went astray. He left the 99 sheep and looked for that one until he found it. Then, when he had gone to such trouble, he said to the sheep, I care for you more than the 99. Jesus said, he who will drink from my mouth will become like me. I myself shall become he, and the things that are hidden will be revealed to him. I'm getting pretty Gnostic here. 109, Jesus said, the kingdom is like a man who had a hidden treasure in his field without knowing it, and after he died, he left it to his son. Well, he probably left it to his son before he died, but you know what I mean. The son did not know about the treasure. He inherited the field and sold it, and the one who bought it went plowing and found the treasure. He began to lend money at interest to whomever he wished. That's a weird twisting of the story. Jesus said, whoever finds the world and becomes rich, let him renounce the world. 111, Jesus said, the heavens and the earth will be rolled up in your presence, and the one who lives from the living one will not see death. Does not Jesus say, whoever finds himself is superior to the world? 112, Jesus said, woe to the flesh that depends on the soul. Woe to the soul that depends on the flesh. A lot of woe going on here. Two more. Number 113, his disciples said to him, when will the kingdom come? Jesus said, it will not come by waiting for it. It will not be a matter of saying, here it is or there it is. Rather, the kingdom of the Father is spread out upon the earth, and men do not see it. And finally, one of the more famous ayah of the Gospel of Thomas, number 114. Simon Peter said to him, let Mary leave us, for women are not worthy of life. Jesus said, I myself will lead her in order to make her male, so that she too may become a living spirit resembling you males. For every woman who will make herself male will enter the kingdom of heaven. Which may be why the Gospel of Thomas is more popular with a lot of people today, where there's a little confusion about this male and female thing. I don't know. But there is the Gospel of Thomas. And you say, why in the world read the Gospel of Thomas or all the other Gnostic Gospels that you have read? Partly so that you have at least a familiarity with the character. Gospel of Thomas, sayings gospel, no context, no flow, no ability to do any meaningful exegesis, and a wild-eyed mixture of oral traditions primarily, clearly secondary, dependent upon the canonical gospels, combined with stuff that, quite honestly, one of the reasons the Gospel of Thomas is so popular today is think about what you're required to do to get your dissertation approved. You got to come up with something that no one's thought of before, some new area of research. Well, I'll tell you what. What I just read would allow all sorts of very innovative interpretation, shall we say. And that's what's happening. You're getting a lot of that going on. Yes. Okay. So Chris Williams, by the way, if any of you did not like my spending the last half of the program reading the rest of the Gospel of Thomas, it's Chris with a K, K-R-I-S Williams on Twitter reminded me that I had only gotten through the first 40, and there we go. So we have now read the Gospel of Thomas completely on, well, I think it was completely. Sort of got lost there around in the 60s and 70s. Might have skipped something somewhere. But you get the gist of what the Gospel of Thomas is all about. So there you go. I'm glad we got that done before I left, because I didn't want that hanging over my head, you know, the whole time I was gone. And yeah. What would have been even worse is if you had decided to finish reading the Gospel of Thomas.
I really don't think I could have finished.
You don't think you could have finished?
Oh, you talk about squirrel.
Oh.
and that reminds me.
So we're going to have John Sampson in.
On Thursday and Tuesday.
And then you're going to do the
Thursday and
I
Tuesday.
Control all things
yes,
type thing?
Yes, I'm going to bring the keyboards into the studio and work my magic through the miracle of Bluetooth and operate keyboards and hope that it all works.
Oh, so you put stuff up there, and then you just use the Bluetooth keyboard? Is that how
Well,
you
no, sort of. All the stuff that's normally over here,
I
set up, and then I bring the keyboard over, and everything's numerically, each of the shots that you look at.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, this shot would be one, and that shot would be two, and then this shot would be three, and then the laptops would be another number. And so I just hit the corresponding numbers on the keyboard, and that's how it works, hopefully.
Okay. Well.
But if it no worky.
Yes. Yes. Well, we'll do our best.
Big trouble.
And you will and hopefully you and John will remind folks to be praying for us while we're away. It won't just be, all right, we got rid of that jerk. Let's have some fun around here. Let's do something worthwhile. You know, because I don't really get a chance to listen, at least until I get back. And we will have the continuation of the ESV only movement, which I've heard is pretty stalled. Because Ben, you know, that type of thing really needs to be pushed a lot, and really John hasn't had the chance to be doing that very much recently. So we'll probably have the continuation of the ESV only movement here on on the program. But it's not really the cultic ESV. It's just sort of weird British stuff. So, anyway. Thanks for listening today, folks. Your prayers seriously appreciated as we head for South Africa tomorrow. And 2 weeks away, and then, Lord willing, back with you. And hopefully some great reports for you as well. Thanks for listening. God bless.